started to make a motion for the Grace Baptist Church. And let me put the basis of the motion out here. At his conference, he only gives his speakers 30 minutes.
Amen.
Only gives me 30 minutes. So I make a motion that we only give Sam 30 minutes because that's what he does to everybody else.
So, next anyway. Year, you've got 25.
anyway, use the full 35 minutes, however the Lord leads you, as long as it's not past 35 minutes. But thankful to have my friend Sam Wilson, and thankful to see his brothers here. I expect the same kind of treatment to the brother-in-law who will be preaching next session. I expect you to be here, like you are for your brother. But anyway, enough foolishness. Let's get down to business. And the subject is going forth with weeping.
Well, my text is easy if you're familiar with the Word of God. The Bible's book of Psalms 126, then we'll read verse 6. I appreciate the opportunity to be here, the opportunity to preach Wednesday night. May God bless this church and each church represented. It is not my desire this afternoon to touch your mind. It's not my desire to touch your head. But may God help me to touch your heart. Psalms 126 and verse 6, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." When you're preparing this message, lying in bed one night, and preachers do a lot of lying in bed thinking about sermons, I became very burdened. I failed. As a pastor, failed to bring my people to tears. Failed to make them weep. Failed to touch their hearts. May God help me to be a better pastor. There should be weeping done by the children of God. Whether they be tears of sorrow or tears of joy, the people of God should weep. Notice two words in our text. It says going forth. I like to think of that as the Old Testament Great Commission. There's always been the responsibility of God's people to go forth with weeping to bear that precious seed, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That has never changed, nor will it ever change. We have to understand it is our obligation, our responsibility, daily and many times a day, to bear that precious seed with weeping for the souls of men and women. Where are the tears of God's people? This is an important subject. Weeping or crying or tears is mentioned somewhere around 300 times in the Word of God. The supreme example in God's Word and all the universe is Jesus Christ. And yet we find that He looked down on compassion upon those that He loved and Jesus wept. Where are our tears? Reading the Word of God, it seemed to be a trademark. Of those who were closest to God, they wept over the things of God. And I'm talking about the things of God. I'm not talking about a Hallmark movie. I'm afraid that we live in a day of great apathy. And I'm not concerned this afternoon about the rest of the world out there. I'm concerned about us and our apathy. We just don't care. Our hearts are not what they ought to be. May God use this message to break our stony hearts. To renew our passion and our compassion for things that we have neglected far too long. Let me make a few preliminary observations. One reason, I'll give you four reasons why there is so little weeping. First, our hearts are cold. I heard a story that happened in Florida, in Beaverton, 7 miles from Gladwin, where I live. There were some older teenagers who were chiding a younger person who was not completely mentally right, convincing him to dive into the dam when it had been released. And they watched him die. No compassion. And all of us think about how horrible that is. What a terrible, terrible heart they had. But what about us? When we pass people by every day who are perishing, we're on the very brink of hell, headed for destruction and disaster, and we don't say a word and our hearts do not break. Secondly, our hearts are calloused. We have become bitter. Thirdly, our hearts are contrary. Seem to want to argue about everything. Don't want to get along with anybody. We have a great deal of bitter attitudes. And lastly, our hearts are controversial. Sometimes argue just to argue. Maybe you want to show people how smart we are. Let me say this. Do never waste your time arguing Scripture with lost people. Don't waste your time trying to convince them they shouldn't be celebrating Christmas and Easter. Don't waste your time trying to teach them about the doctrines of grace or the Lord's church. It won't keep them out of hell. Send to give them the gospel. Preach Jesus to them. Then there are four hearts from which weeping comes. Come from a broken heart. Man walking to the pro shop in Gladwin, Michigan. I asked him how he was doing. I knew he had just retired. And I said, how's retirement treating you? Tears begin to roll down his face. And I said, what's wrong? I was sitting at the breakfast table. My birthday. My wife comes in and I said, let's go up to the cabin up north and celebrate. Her words were, I found another man. I want a divorce. Heart was broken. I do a lot of funerals. Had a woman whose 16-year-old son died in a motorcycle wreck. Came to my house, collapsed on my floor sobbing with a broken heart. Where are our broken hearts? Weeping comes from a burdened heart. When you desire something so much that it takes over your very soul. That you just want it so bad. Weeping comes from a bountiful heart. A heart that is filled with thankfulness for all the blessings that God has given you. I close every session of our Bible conference with a song, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. And then weeping comes from a benevolent heart. A heart that is overwhelmed with love and with compassion. There are three things we want to notice this afternoon that are worth our weeping. We should go forth weeping over sinners. And secondly, we should go forth weeping over saints. And then lastly, we should go forth weeping for the Savior. Weeping or tears shed for sinners and sin. Talk about first our national sins. We have not become an immoral nation. We are an amoral nation. And as we are surrounded by wickedness on every hand, it seems as if many of God's people don't care. What America has become should tear our hearts out. I preached 2 weeks ago on Can God Make America Great Again? And I want to tell you something, only God can. Trump can't, politicians can't, but God can. We were a nation that was founded on the principles of the Word of God. That is irrefutable. You cannot deny that we were a nation founded on the principles of God and God's Word, but we've left it. Let me mention a few facts about America today. And how can we not weep over the land of the free and the home of the brave? Every day in America, 437 children are arrested for drunk driving. Every day in America, 211 children are arrested for drug abuse. Every day, 1,629 children are put in adult jails. Every day, 10 children are killed by guns. Every day, 135,000 children take guns to our schools. In the course of a year, 258,000 children are abducted. The vast majority of those are familial abductions. At first I thought, well, that's not so bad. That makes it worse. And families cannot get along that mama steals the child and daddy steals the child. And the child has no idea what to think. Every day nearly 100 people die from gunshot wounds. There is a murder in America every 24 minutes. There is a forcible rape every 7 minutes. There is a robbery every 68 seconds, an aggravated assault every 27 seconds, a violent crime every 3 seconds. Today in America, there will be 28,800 violent crimes. Every day, 3,073 babies are murdered. An article came out stating that in Iceland, if they discover gene of a Down syndrome, 98% of those babies are aborted. In America, 68% of Down syndrome babies are aborted. I have a beautiful niece back there with Down syndrome. About something bring you to tears? I'm lying in bed a couple of weeks ago. I got my CPAP on already. I get a phone call and I look at it on FaceTime. I said, I don't know that number, click. They call back, another FaceTime, I don't know that number, click. They call back again and says, Joe Wilson. So I know something must be going on, I hit it. And there's precious Deborah Ruth. She says, Steamboat. Only 3 people in this world call me Steamboat. My brother Marvin, Ronnie, and Deborah Ruth. Steamboat, Papaw, which is my dad, loved this song. I want to sing it to you. She sung all 4 verses of Child of the King to me. She must have thought I looked scary. She sang all tears ran down my face. And then she goes and she says, Dad, look, I got Steamboat on the phone. Joe says, Deborah, it's 11:30 there. I said, it's okay. And you're going to abort that? Every day, 2,500 kids drop out of school. 5,500 Americans lose their job. 355 companies close their doors. And 4,500 churches close their doors. And most of them should. You think about the way our nation entertains itself, the average time. Every American average spends 5 hours a day watching television. Watching all sorts of sex and violence and going by the name of entertainment. 1,470 million Americans go to movies and watch the same garbage and come out not complaining about the movie, but about the popcorn. Today, throughout America, people will flock to ball games as if the world depends upon who the winner is, and they will guzzle their beer and eat their brats. And if their team loses, now you'll see tears. Arnold Toynbee, known as a great historian, studied 22 nations. He said that 19 of them fail when they reach the state of moral decay that America is in right now. We as a nation, we have the highest crime rate in the world. The highest drunkenness rate in the world and the highest divorce rate in this world. How can we not weep? Tired, I think we're in this bubble. And I think because in Gladwin, Michigan, there's nobody tearing down statues and nobody holding hands and blocking roads and nobody protesting and looting and rioting and breaking windows. doesn't affect me, but it does because I'm an American. It ought to bring tears to our eyes. Satan, not just alive and well on planet Earth, he's alive in America. You see his handiwork in politics, sports, schools, business, homes, churches, everywhere is the handiwork of the devil. And he is in our churches, causing our hearts to be cold. And then secondly, we should weep over our natural sins. I remember days past, saved people would come forward, tears running down their face. I want the church to pray for you. I'm not what I ought to be. And the most godly women I have ever known, and most of this church knows her. I remember her coming to the front of the church, tears running down her face. I want the church to pray for me. I need to be a better Christian. Where is God's people's tears? Where is that conviction? Did not David weep and lament over his sin? Did not Peter repent with tears? And please don't sit there and say, well, I never committed adultery and I never denied Christ, because we deny Christ all the time. When opportunity presents itself, and we remain silent about those tears of the sins of omission. It should bring tears to our eyes when we fail to love Jesus, when we fail to read God's word, fail to pray, fail to give the gospel to the lost, fail to be faithful to God's house. I will never in all my life understand bad church attendance. I never will. I know one reason is because people aren't saved. In other words, their hearts are cold. It ought to break their heart. Church is not a social club where you attend whenever you want to. It's God's house. And then thirdly, weeping over lost sinners without Jesus. Acts 20 and verse 31 says, therefore watch and remember, by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone, not one time, not two times, but night and day with tears. When was the last time you cried over lost soul? As I look around, there are probably none of us here who do not have loved ones who are lost. I have 2 children who know not God. Talk about a heavy burden. It's a heavy burden. Talk about something that should bring tears. Your own flesh and blood and children don't know God. My greatest fears are that so many people who stop going to church and Let me put it plain. If your children have a profession of faith, make sure it's real. Make sure it's not something that you talk them into. Make sure it's not something that they did just to please you, but make sure that they have had an experience of salvation. Salvation is an experience, and when the Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of you and shakes you, causing you to see that you're a sinner, the Holy Spirit of God draws you in loving kindness. When was the last time you shed a tear for someone who's lost? Let us always remember the reality of death. Every second. Yeah, let me put it that. Every 1.8 seconds somebody dies. What if it's that your loved one knows not Jesus? You think about the reality of death, the reality of the rapture, and oh my, the reality of hell. There is a hell. I remember a woman asking me to go visit her father in the hospital. He was an atheist. And I went in and talked with him. Two or three days later, he died. He said, oh, Pastor, he went to hell. He's still in hell today. In fact, if you really believe in hell, it should bring you to tears. Do you believe what the Bible says about that place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth? Our hearts should be heavy that many are tormented there today. Charles Spurgeon, I don't remember the exact quote, but he wrote something about if they go to hell, let them go over our continual witnessing to them and giving them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we weep when a soul is saved. Our Bible conference 2 years ago, the week after that, when my members came and said, I need to talk to you a minute between Sunday school and church. He said, at that Bible conference, God saved me. He said, what I did in the past, that was me. He said, this was God. We both hugged and cried a little bit. I went back in the church and I closed service and I had Jim come up front and I told the church God had saved him. He'd been a member of my church for 25 years. I told him that, and his daughter, Veronica, one of the godliest young women I know, taking her shoes off during the service. She comes out the aisle, tears rolling down her face, and runs up and hugs her daddy, rejoicing. God has saved his soul. Where is that? There's tears of rejoicing. And then we need to weep over the saints. We need to weep when saints fall into heinous sin. I'm afraid that oftentimes we say, well, glad it's not me. Well, I saw that one coming. Are you a prophet? Well, they had that coming. They deserve that. I hope God gets them for that. Where is our compassion? Take heed, lest ye fall. I'm to weep over sinners who fail God and saints who fail God. And then when they fall into heretical sin, and heresy is a sin, when they leave the church, no longer believe the truth. We have excluded 5 young people from my church because they met girls who said they were Christians. They didn't believe the truth. So we excluded them for heresy. I remember one of them sitting there, one of them saying, well, it'll be better. It'll be different once we get married. I said, it will. It'll be worse. And it was worse. In six, seven weeks, we excluded them. Because they want to make that spouse happy and go to their church. Heresy is a terrible thing. Heresy is a sin. We ought to weep over it. And then we all ought to weep over when the saved fall into hatred. Ever had 2 people just can't get along? When they become bitter and hard and they make others miserable around them, we ought to weep. And then we ought to weep when saints have hard times. I wept over Troy Shepard. I wept over Gene Kiger. I wept when I found out he had to go have a heart cath, and I wept when he let me know that everything was good. I wept. My brother in Christ, I love him. So our hearts are just too cold to be wrapped up with the affairs of others. But we ought to weep. We have a brother or sister who loses their job. Ought to touch our heart. Lose their job, lose their insurance. Life becomes a struggle. God give us compassion. And then lastly, weeping over the Savior. There are many reasons to weep for Jesus. But I start with this one first. I weep because He loved me. He loved me in eternity past. Before I was, before this world was, He loved me when he was born of a virgin into this world. He loved me as he walked back and forth over this earth, teaching and preaching the word of God. He loved me on the cross. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He loved me in the grave, and he loves me today, seated on the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for me. I weep with joy over the fact that Jesus loves me. This I know, because the Holy Spirit tells me so. Children sing the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. They sang that at my conference. I said, I hope so. Remember, a man used to punish his child by putting him in a corner and make him say over and over again, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. That's hypocrisy. That's heresy. Because Jesus doesn't love everybody, but he loves me. That's worth weeping. He loves me. I never heard the song until my dad sang it as a special. What a beautiful song, a sinner like me. Oh, what a beautiful song. I feel the love of God in my heart, and sometimes it overwhelms me. The fact that God can love somebody like me. You know me. You don't know the wickedness of my life and of my heart and what I've done. You don't know that. And it really doesn't matter, because God loves me. And he's always going to love me. Heaven forbid, but one day my wife might fall out of love with me. But God never will. You know what? I rejoice in that he also loves some people I love. My dad's been gone since 2004. He loved my daddy. Because he loved me, he loved my daddy. I'm going to see him again. If he loves your wife and your parents and your children, oh, thank God, it ought to move you to weeping. He doesn't love everybody. Then I weep because I love Jesus. It's not natural for me to love Jesus. Natural man, I wouldn't have loved Jesus. I didn't love Jesus as a child growing up. I went to church all my life, but I didn't love it. I love it now. And I know I love him because he first loved me. And he gave me that love for the Lamb of God. And then I weep because of what Jesus has done for me. He saved me by his grace. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I would not be here today. I don't know where I would be. He watched over me. All the steps of my life were guided and directed by God to the place where I would, by the power of the Holy Spirit, trust in Jesus Christ. I love him because he saved me. I love him because he secured me. I am safe in the arms of Jesus. I'm in the hands of God, and no one can pluck me out. I am secured. I love him because he sustains me. All the physical, material, and in particular the spiritual blessings of life, God gives me every day. You can tell I do not miss many meals. God's good to me. Good to me. I love God because he sustains. I deserve nothing, yet he gave me everything. And then I weep because he made me a preacher. Preacher. I don't tell you, if you're a preacher, y'all get tears in. A preacher. Someone who is accounted with the privilege of preaching the word of God. Oh, what an honor is bestowed upon me. God, forgive me wherein I fail. But he made me a preacher. And then I weep because when death comes, Jesus is going to walk with me through that valley. My dad died. He had been out of it for a day or so. No response. Hospice had told us that it wouldn't be long. Joe was at my house. He left to go get his stuff. We were all leaving the next day. And when Joe was on the way home, he called me and said, "Sam, Daddy's gone to be with the Lord." At that time, I could not cry. I was happy. Katie said she was standing over Daddy's bed. All of a sudden, Daddy opened his eyes and smiled. Said, "Joe, Jesus come to get you, hasn't he?" Smiled bigger. Jesus took his hand, took him to heaven. "It comes my time. God's going to be with me. I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I'll fear no evil. I weep because God's, I'm not going to die alone. If all my family is gone and I'm on a highway dead somewhere, I won't have died alone. Oh, my family remembers that. A young lady in my church killed in a car wreck, and I get a call, "Will you go pick my children up, my mother-in-law up, and bring them down to the Saginaw Trauma Center? The mother's been in a terrible accident. And the people who were there, when they got the first responders, they said it was strange that she had a smile on her face, and that's because God took her hand, walked her through that valley of the shadow of death. You don't have to die alone if you know Jesus. He'll be with you all the way." Listen, I've seen it both. I've watched a lost person die, and I've watched a child of God die, and they're different. I watched a lost person die, struggling for breath. You can see the agony on their face and the fear on their face. I've watched saved people die with smiles on their faces, with "I'm ready to go, take me home." I weep because God's going to be with me. And I weep because Jesus is coming back to get me. Praise God, He's coming again. Amen. I hope today. Times don't grow weary. I'll tell you something. This world is topsy-turvy, but my God is ruling and reigning on high. My God, while here upon this earth, He's working out His plan. God has a plan, and everything that takes place is a part of my sovereign God's plan. Until the Father said, "Go get my people and bring them home." I long for that day. Long for that day. Then He's going to have 7 years of horror here upon this earth. And I wait because I'm going to come back with Him. And for 1,000 years, He's going to rule. And He's going to show people what government is. There will be no more abortions. There will be no more of this Muslim. There will be nothing else but worshiping the Lamb. And then I weep because Jesus is one day going to wipe away all my tears forever. Cry now. The day's coming. You'll cry no more. No more crying, no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow, no more suffering. God said, "Hear my child, let me wipe that tear away." And we'll never cry again because we will rejoice. I weep, but I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. That's worth weeping over, isn't it? Weep tears of sorrow over those lost sinners. And those fallen saints, weep with tears of joy that you're going to spend eternity with Jesus. What you think? I didn't feel out of place up here with all them people. You see, I'm sitting up here in the middle of all them where they're playing and singing. I didn't bring my instrument with me. I don't know why Carol Powell is laughing so loud. She saw me play the guitar at my conference. You know what I long for? I long for the day when all God's people get home. We gather around that throne. We lift up our voices in anthems of praise to our Redeemer. We cry out amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And we sing, how great thou art, I long for that day. Oh, it ought to bring tears to our eyes, what awaits us. God knows your tears. They're in a bottle. Do you have this many? I'm afraid that for many of us, it's going to be a little bottle about like this. A little methylate, and only us older people know what methylate is. Oh, I have a little methylate bottle. God have mercy on our hard hearts. There are tears in a bottle. God's keeping track of them. Weep over saints, sinners, and the Savior. Long for the day when God will wipe all tears from our eyes. But remember one thing, as I close, the important thing is that I live my life that God gives me here upon this earth to the honor and glory of my God. And I cannot do that if I don't go forth weeping. God give us a burden, those who know not Jesus. Thank you for your time.